James chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." It's a fun reading. We've been looking at, I feel very far away now. We've been looking at little things over the last number of weeks. Small things that have significant impact. And James says one of those things is your tongue. It's your tongue. It has impact far beyond. I'll just borrow this chair so that I don't have to keep going up under the platform. It has impact far beyond its size. So most of us are familiar with Proverbs 18:21. It says the power of life and death is in the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. And quite often in charismatic circles, that's used a bit superstitiously. People want to speak things into existence, whatever else. But it doesn't take away from the reality that the tongue has a significant impact, that it's either constructive or destructive. Proverbs 15 and verse 4 says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." And some of us have probably experienced that for ourselves. We've been around some people who said some stuff to us, and it's been totally crushing. It's been totally destructive in our lives. Equally, we've been around some people and we've never felt better than when we're around them. And with this small thing, apparently you can do a lot. So James compares it to a bit in a horse's mouth. You can bridle a horse and you can control it. Turn it round. It's not something I know a lot about. I've been horse riding once, and I don't think I was in control. But people who know what they're doing, they can control it, turn it round. A horse that's much larger than the person riding it, much more powerful, is controlled by something relatively small. Or a ship that's directed by a rudder. Winds beating against it, waves crashing, trying to direct it in every direction, send it wherever it feels, and yet a relatively small part of the ship is what's giving it guidance. This is significant impact. And apparently your tongue is like that. It's having a significant impact. So Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33 says, make a tree good and its fruits will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Everyone apparently has got to give an account for every empty word they've spoken. It's Jesus' words. Jesus talking about Judgment Day says every empty word you've spoken, you're going to have to explain to him what happened there. Well, that sounds like fun, doesn't it? Because words so often spill out of our mouths. So often we have the capacity to say things. And it's really easy. But actually, they're of significant impact to your life and to the lives of others. This is directing your course. You're going to have to give some explanations to Jesus about some of the things you said. And our words are probably the clearest indication of what's happening internally for us. What goes on the inside of people is often a mystery to us. So in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, we're told, judge nothing before the appointed time until the Lord comes, because he's going to bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. Because often we don't know the motives of the heart. We're not aware of what's going on inside of people. Yet, Luke puts it like this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 15, Jesus is in a situation where the Pharisees have come up to him and they say, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat? Like the elders did. This wasn't a COVID safe measure. This wasn't a concern about hygiene. They're bothered by tradition. And Jesus goes, why do you undermine the word of God in order to fulfill some of your traditions? It's a pretty, fairly good response. Go on, Jesus. And he talks to them about the fact that they undermine the commandment of honor your father and mother when it suits them in order to fulfill their tradition. And the disciples are concerned that he's upset them, because he then goes on to say, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out of it. And he goes on, says some other things, and then Peter comes up to him, says, can you just explain what you were saying? This is Jesus' response, Matthew 15, 17. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Just for you little people in the room, wash your hands before you eat. That's a good practice. It's not a bad thing. Wash your hands. The reality is that what we say gives some insight into what's going on inside. Potentially, it's the only insight sometimes into what's going on inside. But maybe the most difficult challenge for us is we're not always what we are sometimes. We're not always what we are sometimes. See, it would be fine to suggest Jesus says, out of your heart, your mouth speaks, right? And that's the reality. But sometimes my heart's not in a great place. And sometimes my heart's in a wonderful place. And that's quite often reflected in our speech. If I explain it like this, Galatians 5:17, the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. They are in conflict with each other. There's this war going on inside of me between the flesh and the spirit. So Romans 7 talks about the sinful nature. And Paul writes the fact that he doesn't do always what he wants to do. And quite often he's doing what he doesn't want to do. Because there's this challenge going on inside of us between our spirit and our flesh. And they want contrary things. And actually what we find ourselves sometimes doing is reacting to situations out of a sinful nature. We say some stuff sometimes because that's how we felt in the moment. And it was easy to get it out. Just popped in your head and came out your mouth, didn't it? This wasn't something you had to process for a long time. And so, actually, there ends up being an inconsistency in our lives where we are praising God with our mouths and cursing people made in his image. Where we're saying great things to some people and then tearing others down. And actually it matters. It matters. This is not. Because it's easy. Because it seems like it's small. It doesn't take any value away from the words you speak. And some of you know, you'll have been in situations where people said things to you and they really hurt. They really hurt. And sometime later, you've had the opportunity to have a conversation with them and tell them about the things they said that really hurt. And they have no idea that they said it. They have no idea that they said it. They don't even recall it happening. And yet, for some of us, we've carried that for a long time. It's actually determined our perspective on ourselves. It's affected how we've seen things. It's altered our view of what's gone on. It's raised all sorts of questions about our identity and who we are and what we do. And the capacity to say something that has significant impact in people's lives comes from a small tongue. And the reality is, I would love to tell you my heart always has the right response in situations. But I'm not always what I am sometimes. And I'm not yet what I'm becoming. Yeah. And so the challenge then is, what do I do with what I say if I actually have the capacity to think things that might not necessarily be good for people? And can I just suggest to you, there is significant value in silence. There is significant value in silence. It's Proverbs 17:27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Not everything needs your response immediately, or even at all sometimes. Proverbs 29:20 says, do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. And James writes and urges the people, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And the truth is that we find ourselves often in a situation where we're trying to be quite quick to speak because we want to respond quickly to a situation, let them know why they're wrong, why we're right. And we end up saying something we didn't necessarily mean. Or we might have phrased better had we had more time to think about it. Or we might have reevaluated in a different context and gone, well, I could have done this differently. The impact of your words is significant. And here's the encouragement of Scripture. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It's Ephesians 4:29. What would it look like if, as a community of people, we only said that which was helpful for building others up according to their needs so that they would benefit from listening? And let me make this observation to you. Lots of us quite often think we've got great advice for other people, but we're not necessarily committed to the building process of their lives. We're willing to give them advice in a moment, but we're not willing to walk the journey out with them as they try to construct that. Maybe it's best not to say the thing that you've got to say in that moment. If it's going to take time to process, if it's going to take time for people to work it out, if you're willing to say it, you better be willing to walk them out, walk with them on that journey. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. only say that which is helpful for building others up? Would change the nature of some things, wouldn't it? And it's not that we just ignore some stuff, but it's that we're constructive then in how we approach it. Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The reality is, that we are a people who recognize the power of words. Genesis 1, the creation narrative of Scripture. What does God do? Speaks. He speaks. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We commit ourselves to studying the Word. And yet, so often find ourselves saying things we didn't really mean. Maybe that's just me. Find ourselves saying things we didn't necessarily intend to be interpreted the way they were. And you can apologize, but you can't undo it. And James writes to a group of believers and talks about their small tongue, but he actually asks them to appreciate the potential damage that it does. A small spark that causes a huge fire. Ask them to consider this. And then he says, no man can tame the tongue. I thank God I'm not doing this on my own. And if it's true that no man can tame the tongue, then what more evidence of there is a Christ in me that I can? What great evidence of Christ in me that I can in a world that can't? In a world where people just say stuff? What incredible evidence of Christ in me? That actually I've tamed my tongue through the help of the Spirit. So let me close quickly. But I couldn't ignore James's statement in talking about small things. Part of me wanted to, I'll be honest. Because it's not necessarily the most comfortable. And it's not necessarily the most fun message. But there is a reality and a value in recognizing the significance of your words. But let me also say this. I had some sense in preparing for this morning. Some of you needed to let go of the words of others in light of the word of God. Some of you, you can understand the value of words because people have said some stuff to you. And in truth, it probably still affects you now. Wasn't necessarily a huge deal. But it's carried through. It's stayed just lingering somewhere in the background. You've altered the way you live your life in order to accommodate. You're not the sum of other people's words. You're not the sum of other people's words. You are who he says you are. You are a child of God, a co-heir with Christ. You are seated in heavenly places. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. Don't live as if there's anything less than that. Don't live up to somebody else's standard in that. And we live in a culture that it's easy to demean ourselves. Yeah. Actually, sometimes that's destructive in and of itself. The jokes you tell about yourself, the comments you make about yourself, they contradict what he says. Yeah. You're wrong. And because it's easy, doesn't mean it's insignificant. Because it's easy, doesn't mean it doesn't have an impact. I pray we would be people who only said that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs. I pray that we would recognize the value of words, but that there is one who has never changed, who's spoken some things about you, who said some things over your life. That matters more than anything else. It matters more than anybody, what anybody else has got to say. But I want to live in light of that and how I engage with other people as well. I want to support what he says about others. I want to value people in the way he values them. So I pray that's a blessing to you.